Hey, welcome to my podcast. My name is Dr. Brendan McCarthy. I'm the Chief Medical Officer of Protea Medical Center in Chandler, Arizona. Thank you for tuning in. Before we get any further, please do me a favor. Just roll down there and hit the subscribe button and we'll get on our way. Today, I want to talk to you about libido. And I want to first say that I, as a physician, came out of medical school with a good understanding of the chemistry behind libido, the neurochemistry. I understood the hormones involved. I understood a lot of that. I didn't understand how to interact with a patient and discuss libido with them. It's one of those things we don't get trained very well in. And there's tons of studies that show that. And because of the lack of the training that physicians have, there's been so many patients where libido has been ignored, poorly treated, and it's caused, I believe, a lot of unnecessary stress in our lives. Libido is tricky to talk about because there's all these charged things around it. There's a lot of things socially involved, and I know that. And I feel very strongly that your libido is yours, and it's so personal, and it's intimate, and you own it. And too often is it kind of co-opted into what your role should be, who you're supposed to be for that person in front of you, not who you're supposed to be for you. And when a woman presents to clinic with libido disorders, I want you to know I see that as a moment to see her as a whole. Women have issues with libido based on so many different underlying causes. And I want you to say, when I say so many, that's not defeatist. I'm just letting you know, you are complex and beautiful and good. And it's wonderful how complex it is. And it's like a symphony. Okay? It is. And sometimes you'll present to a clinic for libido and they just want to go and hit you with one thing. And they don't see you as a whole balance. And they sort of just try and push one thing into you, see if they get your libido turned back up. Or they dismiss you. I mean, I've had women have issues with their libido and their doctor has told them, you know, for your libido, just drink a couple glasses of wine. I'll get you right. Or tell her, you know, just lose a little weight. I'll be right. And that's just the horrible stuff. Why would you want to go back to a clinic and tell your doctor I have a low libido? That's what they said to you. Why? It's horrible. I go on for days. The things I hear in clinic. How do we approach this, though? How do we think about it? How should we as physicians think about your libido? When a woman presents to clinic with low libido, we look at them through the whole lens. So the first thing you want to look at is like, where are their hormones? Where's their neurobiochemistry related to those hormones? And then where are they emotionally, mentally with their partner? Those three things are important aspects to this. The first one, the hormones, easy. You know, we go in there, we run the labs. We see where they are. And a lot of times, that's all that's necessary to be done. In some ways, this kind of is what opened up the box for us of patients coming in for libido. Because you have a patient presented to clinic with severe PMS or PMDD, or they're having, you know, menopausal symptoms, and you balance out their hormones, and all of a sudden, surprise, their libido is like big, wonderful. And there's this renaissance in their marriage, and they feel like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And they feel so close and bonded with their partner. They come back into clinic and I just feel so good. Like, I feel like I was a part of something beautiful there. I helped something amazing happen in someone's life. Because that is a gift, being so close with someone and feeling that intimacy, you know? So then she'll tell her friends, she's like, oh my God, my libido's all this, you know, I feel amazing. And, you know, it's never been so great. And I feel this, I've never felt this way before. And their friends are like, I want that too. And of course they do. It's not salacious. It's not bad to want to be intimate with your partner and to feel that feeling, that thing, that connection, that intimacy that you share with that one person. It's not bad to want that. So they come to the clinic and hopefully theirs is just hormones too. But over the years I've practiced, I've learned it's not just that. It's always... Every woman is unique and special. And just because something worked for one woman doesn't mean it's going to work for another. In fact, it is insane for a physician to think it will. So how do we treat? When you present in to our clinic for libido and we run your neurotransmitter, So when you present to our clinic for libido, we run your labs on your estrogen, your progesterone, your testosterone, your cortisol, because they all play a role. Hormones play a role in libido because when they cross over the blood-brain barrier, they trigger certain pathways in the brain that initiate that arousal component. And through promoting arousal, it'll stimulate desire, because libido has two aspects to it, arousal and desire. Okay, arousal tends to be more the physical response that tends to initiate the desire, and the desire can come from here that initiates the physical. They both are with each other, but they have unique components to them. So when a patient comes in and we normalize those hormones, arousal is brought to balance. If they have a healthy desire pathways in their brain, boom, libido, good. So what is the desire component? What aspects are happening there with women? So as you mentioned, you know, the physical, we're going to look at those hormones. What other things are we going to look at? Well, in women, when we're thinking about, you know, the desire component, there's going to be the excitatory, and that's going to be like norepinephrine. It's going to be dopamine. It's going to be something called oxytocin, another one called the melanocortins. And these are parts of the brain, these are neurotransmitter pathways that initiate that cascade of libido in an excitatory way. So that's pro-excitatory. Then we need the inhibitory ones, because you can't have things cranked up without a way for the brain to bring them into balance. There's a harmony that happens. So we always have to find that and understand that in a woman, and understand the balance that they have with them of excitatory versus inhibitory when it comes to initiating desire. And so the inhibitory is going to be serotonin. It's going to be the opioid pathway and something called the endocannabinoid pathway. And those are our inhibitors. And that's the balance. In fact, two medications that have been released in the past, you know, 5 to 8 years or something, are targeted towards those. And you'll know one of them is called Addy, and that is going to be a serotonin-based medication with some dopamine activity in there. But the serotonin in there is to restrict the inhibitory component. We want to lower the inhibitory part of the desire. That's why they're going to be affecting serotonin, hoping they're going to get that excitatory thing cranked up and have a libido. So that's why they use Addy. But you know, it's a lot of side effects because you're just targeting serotonin in that woman. And then you have the other one that was approved called bremelanotide. Bremelanotide, also known as PT-141, was released and was approved in 2019. And that one stimulates the melanocortin pathway. And that also is that one is purely stimulatory. And so when you give that to a patient, you're purely trying to stimulate that pathway. The thing is this, when a woman comes into my clinic and I give her the proper hormones and her libido wakes up and she feels amazing, she should expect that to continue. This is important. Sometimes, oftentimes, it doesn't continue. And then the question becomes why? And I want you to know this is important, because if you were to be prescribed just PT-141 or bremelanotide or Addy or any of those medications, it's the same thing. If I'm just giving you a medicine at one level and not thinking about you as a whole, it doesn't always work. We need to understand you as a whole. Just giving you something that should push the pathway isn't seeing you as the whole. So with libido, what other things could be at play? Those neurotransmitters can be out of balance, and we want to bring them back into balance. Yes. But there's also another part that gets forgotten about and ignored. And I think that I want to talk about that mostly in the podcast today. When you have a couple and you have a partner and she does not feel inclined to intimacy, her desire is low at that moment, and it could be due to her hormones being off, as I mentioned. It could be due to a neurotransmitter issue, but also could be due to trauma. Remember, up to 70% of women have experienced sexual trauma in their lives. These things are valid and true. These things are critical. They're important for us to acknowledge and know. So when you have your partner who doesn't feel the desire in those moments, she's not interested in intimacy, when that woman feels that she's obligated, when a woman feels obligated to have a libido, when a woman feels obligated to have desire, that doesn't mean she's going to have desire. If anything, it's going to inhibit desire. And so when you're in a coupled relationship and something happens and your libido is not there, when your desire is not there, a lot of times what you'll see is your partner will respond. They'll feel that that's a withdrawal. They'll feel that it's a rejection of them. They will feel all the abandonment issues that they may have underneath it. All their own personal secure attachment disorders are going to be triggered up in there. And they're going to respond. And they're going to get angry sometimes. They're going to be upset. And they're going to respond sometimes in a retaliatory fashion. I'm saying this because this is what I see in clinic. And so you'll have a wife who, for some reason or another, has a lower libido, has a lower desire at this point. Libido desire has dropped off for her. And again, it could be any of those hormones. It could be neurotransmitters. It could be trauma. It could just be that you have unresolved conflict in your marriage and poor communication in your marriage. And that's one of the things that strangles libido over time. And if you have that, where you're not getting good communication, you're not having a healthy relationship, of course you're not going to want to be intimate. And then your partner feeling that withdrawal is going to get upset. They're going to respond. And if they don't respond in a healthy way, they're going to be mad and be like, the reason why I'm mad is because you're holding this back. So they're basically blaming you for their anger now. They're blaming you for their own emotional response to you. And now you feel like I need to have a libido in order to keep my marriage. And he's mad at me because I don't have a high enough libido for him. And I'm a failure. That's not helpful for libido either. So let's, again, because this is important. This is so important because it doesn't get talked about. No one talks to you guys about this. I'll see stuff online where, women are shamed. They're like, it's the role of a woman to not withhold intimacy from their husband. It's the role of a woman to this. It's the role of a woman to do that. Your libido is yours. It's yours. You're not performance art. You are unique and beautiful, and it's yours. And it's, in many cases, become lost. How happy would your partner be if you knew your libido? If you had your libido, if your libido was present? I believe very. But the way that this has come about in these relationships, it's almost like your libido is not welcome. Because you're more like you're supposed to be performance art. You're supposed to. You have an obligation to your husband. Obligation and libido cannot coexist. They cannot coexist. I disagree with it being able to coexist. Your desire has to do with the connection you feel with your partner. So if your partner feels a withdrawal from you and hyperreacts and escalates and gets mad and takes it out on you and then blames you for them taking it out on you, and then you take yourself apart, it just goes down this road where it doesn't heal. And then the woman in those situations will come into our clinic thinking that, okay, well, they'll just fix my testosterone and my estrogen and my progesterone, and maybe they'll give me PT-141, or maybe they'll prescribe Addy, they'll fix it. And sometimes, if we just give them those things, short term, it will. But women can have all that they want of their testosterone, of their estrogen normalized, you can inject them with enough PT-141 or give them a fatty, but it won't work if they don't feel that connection with their partner. Unraveling libido is worth the effort. When we see this in patients in their relationships, the first thing we try and do is have them acknowledge that there's something not right. And what's weird here is that me saying that to them is completely refuted by society in general. They read everywhere, they're reaffirmed everywhere that you should have a high libido for your partner and, save it for your marriage or, all these things, which I'm not going to say is good or bad. What I'm going to say is that when not presented correctly or in a healthy way to these women, they are conditioned to believe their sexuality is wrong and bad. They're conditioned to view it through a very bad lens. And then now it's supposed to be turned on. It doesn't. You know, this purity culture is an issue in here as well. I'm not going to dive too deeply into that in this one podcast today, but it is something I probably should circle back to and discuss purity culture with libido, because, you know, we see it clinically. Anybody who works with libido sees it. But back to what I want to discuss today is that when you have, you know, a low libido, it's my role as your doctor to not just kind of, you know, slam you with hormones or with a libido drug, because those aren't the right answer all the time. Normalizing everything is great. That's my job. But it's also my job to understand you as a woman and your partner as a man. We refer a lot to therapy. Initially, marriage counseling is a good start on these ones, but ultimately it boils down to they need personal therapy. Sometimes, you know, the wife will have PTSD due to sexual trauma. She'll have PTSD due to any number of things, or attachment disorders, you know, growing up, as I mentioned, or cultural shame associated with her libido. And men, you know, there's a lot of issues in there around our sexuality as well that we were traumatized about. There's a lot of attachment disorders that men have associated with this. And we become triggered. We feel unloved. We don't feel attractive. I can say this. Your libido is not supposed to go away with age, ever. Your libido is actually supposed to get better. There was a study that was published in the Journal of Gerontology about women having better orgasms in their ninth decade. I think it was the eighth or ninth decade. I have to look that one back up. That was published sometime in the 2004, 2006. I have to go look for it. But that is a truth. I've read it several times. It is a fact. Why? Because as you get older, there's a couple of cofactors, I believe, lead to that. You know, you feel more comfortable with yourself. You don't care anymore about like what other people think. And you set aside all the hangups, and there you are. But also as you grow older, you get more tuned into your own biology and what you're comfortable with and who you are. So why I'm bringing that up is because sex gets better as you go through life. It shouldn't just be good for that one little point and then goes away. It's not just about having the act. It's about having the connection and the intimacy and the trust and all the beautiful things that go along with it. If you have low libido, finding a doctor that does this kind of work is not easy. I know that. But I would say this from the video today. What I would say this take home for you. If you have a low libido, the first thing you want to do is kind of unravel the emotions that you have around it. You want to try and find a way to communicate with your spouse. You are worth the investment of understanding that. I've prescribed a lot of good marriage counselors in my life, and I've also seen bad ones too. I know they're out there both. It's worth finding them. This is your life we're talking about. This is a part of you. It's an important part of you. It's yours. It's part of your identity. I believe in therapy because I've seen therapy work, and I use a lot of EMDR therapy. I refer to that almost constantly. There's a podcast I'd recommend you tuning into from a therapist that I personally think the world of. Her name is Kelly Ohoro. It's called Adaptable Behavior Explained. Again, her name is Kelly Ohoro. I refer to her constantly. She is my number one go-to person to refer to. She's in her field. She's famous. She's brilliant and a very gifted person. But she has a great podcast. She's a wonderful podcast. You know, when it comes to understanding intimacy and trauma and connection, that's a good podcast to tune into just to start the process. You know, another thing, and I've never done this before, I'm going to say, reach out to her clinic. You know, if you have, you know, issues with intimacy and libido, reach out to her. Maybe she's in another state from you, but they can always give you referrals if necessary, or maybe there is a way they can help you. You are worth, as I said a moment ago, all the effort it takes. Your marriage is worth all the effort it takes. Your personal connection is worth it. I believe it. I know it to be true. So I hope this helps. please like, share, and subscribe. Your comments mean everything. You know, Justin and I do read them a lot, and I try to answer them all the best that I can. But please do tune into that. And also, you know, we have that Q&A we do once a week, and it's for our subscribers. And what I do on there is I really do directly answer your questions, and that'll help things become a little bit more personal for you, and I could be a better service. So with that said, please like, share, and subscribe. And I'll see you in the next episode.